pitch that God told him to seal it up with. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Grateful for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for, once again, a chance to come to church. And I know that some of us, probably most of us, look forward to Sundays, just being able to get away from the world and be able to come in here and open up your book and learn something from it. I pray that you'd bless today. I pray, Father, that you'd speak this morning and that your word would have 100% free course and be glorified in each person here. And may you get the honor and the glory that you so rightly deserve. I pray that you'd bless our time here. I pray you'd fill me now with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would bear witness to the truth. I pray you bless Pastor and Janet and the rest of them that are on their way to Israel right now. I pray you give them a safe trip. Get them back to us safely. But I do pray that you'd bless them while they're there. I pray that you'd show them yourself. I pray that you'd show them your power. And I pray that you'd speak to them and minister to their hearts and give them a great trip. And may something done or said draw them closer to you. And when they come back, I pray that they'd have a good testimony to give to us about what they saw you do. And we thank you again for your love and for your mercy and your grace. Pray you bless this morning now. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis 6. We ended last week in verse 14. He tells verse 13. Begins a conversation with Noah, God speaking to him. And no doubt some of the things that God says to Noah, Noah's probably sitting back thinking, what in the world is he thinking? But he tells him in verse number 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And I've talked about how the Lord seals you up. And we'll get into this a little bit further in chapter 7, verse 15. And this is the fashion. Now, when God tells him what to do with the ark, God doesn't just say, go out and do this, and then holler at me when you're done. Too often times as fathers, I know me anyway, I'll just look at one of my kids and say, hey, I need you to go get that done for me. And they look at me and say, well, okay. And then I go about and do my business and do whatever I need to do. And then I go down to look at it later on, and I go down there, and it looks like a, I think I can say this in here, everybody probably get the gist of it, looks like an elephant's butt sewed up with a log chain. And I look at it, and I think, what in the world happened here? And I go to him, and I say, what'd you do? Well, I did what you told me to do. And I said, that looks horrible. And they say, well, you didn't tell me how to do it. And then the Lord says, well, you dummy, you should have told him how to do it. And so God tells Noah, he doesn't just tell him, hey, go out and build a boat and then holler at me when you're done and then we'll talk about the next step. God says, this is how you do it. And interesting, in the Christian's life, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, is what Solomon said. And God doesn't just say, okay, now that you're saved, just live for me. And then I'll holler at you on the day of the rapture and have you come up hither. That's not how God does it. God gives you instructions throughout your life to lead every day of your life. God doesn't just say, okay, this is the next step we're working toward, and then this is the next step we're working toward. The next step God's working toward in your life is today and what he wants you to do today. Okay? Bob Jones Sr. said the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. So if you want to, you know, accomplish great things for God, then do the little things first. Just the little things that God asks you to do on a daily basis, that's the things that we need to try and focus on and just trying to stay right with God. I've got a lot of preacher friends that I call from time to time. I say, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, man, I'm just trying to live for God today. Just trying to do what I ought to do today. Just trying to keep my head afloat, you know. And that's the Christian life. When God gives Noah some instructions, he says, Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Verse number 14. And thankfully, he doesn't stop there and then skip over verse 15, 16, 17, 18, all the way down through verse number 22. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord says, all right, Noah, get into the ark. If he'd have done that, then the ark that Noah would have got into would have been in shambles because God had to give him directions. And that's what happens with you and me. Every single day, God has to give you specific instructions. And he says, okay, this is how you do it. And thank God for that, because listen, that's grace. That's grace of God telling you how you need to live, telling you each step to take, okay? So he says in verse number 14, the first step he tells him is, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, okay? So make a boat, build a boat, build an ark. Number one, make it out of gopher wood. Second of all, I want you to put rooms in this ark, okay? Noah's thinking, all right, a room for me and my wife, and then a room for Ham and his wife, Shem and his wife, Japheth his wife. Okay, so that's four rooms, right, Lord? And the Lord says, no, wait a minute. You're going to take somebody else with you. Oh, no. So he says, well, hopefully it's not my mother-in-law. He says, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Very important for the pitch. Without the pitch, the boat sinks. Without the Holy Spirit, you sink. Okay? You're sealed. Not just, it ain't just God says, okay, you're sealed up in my hand. You know what God says? God says you're sealed with what? With the Holy Spirit of promise. Without that Holy Spirit of promise sealing you up, you sink, just like Noah would have sunk. Verse number 15, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, there's a lot of different things going on. Okay, well, you know, what's a cubit? So on and so forth. Pastor's got a really good note here, and I've done some research on it to find out, and there's different types of cubits. Noah used the cubit that he knew of, what God told him. When Moses wrote this down, Moses wrote about the cubit that he knew of. So he says, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Now, how many of you have one of Pastor's Bibles that you're looking at right now? Okay. Note number two, he says this, a royal cubit. Okay, a royal cubit. That's an Egyptian royal cubit. Because when Moses wrote, he was learned in all the wisdom of the what? Egyptians. So he writes with what he knows. So he says a royal cubit measures 20.62 inches, so on and so forth. There's another place, I can't remember where it's at, might be in Ezekiel. Somebody know where it talks about a great cubit, where it's the cubit and an hand breadth. So the cubit is measured from your elbow to your hand right in here. But somewhere he calls it a great cubit. One of the prophets, Pastor might have it in here. Let's see. I know I looked over that and saw it. Anyways, it's called a cubit and an hand breadth. And then in another place, he calls it a great cubit. And it's the span from here to the tip of your fingers. Anyways, it comes out to around 20.62 inches. And then he gives you the measurements. And he says, by this measurement, the ark was 515.5 feet in length. 515.5 feet in length. And then 85.9 feet in width, 51.5 feet in height. So, how many football fields is that long? How long is a football field? 300 feet. Okay, so you got almost two football fields long. Dude, that's a big boat. That's a big boat. And that's a wide boat. And that's a tall boat. He tells you in verse 15, this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Okay, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So today we have buildings with first story, second story, three story, four story. People say, I live in a two-story house, I live in a three-story house, a four-story house, so on and so forth. It's a common saying. All right? Verse number 17. And behold, I, not just somebody else, but even me, even after the grace that you've seen me have, Noah, with all these people, even I am going to get wore out with it. My grace is going to end. And he says, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. To destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So this is total destruction. Total destruction. And all flesh dead. Everybody. Everybody. He said that he found Noah, and that's it. He's the only just man he found on the earth. He said, all flesh is corrupt. They've all went away. They've all done this. They've all done that. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's the only one that he finds. So how did this affect Noah? How do you think that affected Noah as he went to the marketplace, knowing that every person he looked at was getting ready to die? Getting ready to die. As he walks through the marketplace and he walks up to the vendor and he says, I need 6 apples and I need 4 bananas and I need this and that and this and that. Give me a slab of that meat hanging over there. And by the way, you're going to die. And I don't think Noah went in there going, ha, I know something you don't know. And I don't think Noah went in there with this attitude of, well, I'm better than you are. I believe Noah was affected by it. I believe Noah was affected in his heart. Okay? When the Queen of Sheba came and she saw all the glory and the fame of Solomon, she said, the half was never told me. Till she saw what everybody had been talking about, she said, then it dawned on me, wow, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And I think Noah went, everywhere he went, he probably saw me and thought, oh, dear God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he looked at every person and he thought, that guy's going to die. That person's going to go to hell. That person's going to perish. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, dear God. And then Noah began to even preach even harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. I believe that was an encouragement to Noah to keep going and to keep pushing. And as we walk through the marketplace, as we walk through town square, as we go through our lives and the people that we work with every single day, brother, when you're up there, you know, working, you know, at these mills, you're up there and, man, there's some rough nuts up there. I mean, there's some rough people. And you're looking around going, man, I've known that guy for X amount of years. He's going to die and go to hell. And you're out on the job site and you're working. And you say, that guy right there, he's going to die and go to hell. My secretary. Oh, dear God. And you walk around and you see these people that you work with on the job site or at the office or wherever you work at, whenever you go from place to place. You have to keep in the back of your mind all flesh. All flesh. Because eventually, you know what's going to happen? All flesh. And the only ones that are going to make it through are the ones that are saved. That's it. Man alive. And when the rapture happens and you get bolted out of here, think about those people that you've been working with side by side every single day. And then think about how many times you're going to have to stand there at the great white throne judgment and stand there with blood dripping from your hands as your workmate comes up and he's been in hell burning for however many years and the Lord brings him up and the Lord says, and he looks at you and says, why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you say something to him? See? And then you're going to be standing there, and as much as you think you can't stand working with them now, as much as you think you can't stand being around them now, you have to look past that outer shell, and you got to realize, man, there's somebody inside there that's going to live somewhere forever. Somewhere. They're either going to be living in eternity with God in heaven, or else they're going to be living in eternity in hell forever, perishing forever, but they'll never perish. They'll never perish, so... I think that Noah, verse number 17, in verse 17, whenever God told him, Noah, I'm going to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. Every person you see that has life, they're going to die. They're going to die. Verse number 18, but with thee, now man, this is grace, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. This is the first time that the word covenant shows up in the Bible. In verse number 18, chapter 6, verse 18. A covenant in Scripture is an agreement between God and man. That's God making an agreement with somebody. Like shaking hands. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I promise you I'm going to do this. So on and so forth. There's 8 of them throughout the Bible, and we won't go through all those. We don't have time, man. That's a big time deep discussion right there. We don't have time to get into it. But there's 8 covenants throughout the Bible. But the covenant, the promise that God gives Noah here, isn't actually found until chapter 8. Turn over there. He tells you what the covenant is. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, this is after This is after they get off of the ark. The Lord tells them, come forth from the ark. Chapter 8, verse number 20. Chapter 8, verse number 20. Chapter 8, verse 20 says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore. How about that? He said in his heart. God said in his heart. He didn't say that audibly to somebody else. He said, you know what? I don't think I'll ever do this again. That's pretty good. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. God knows. God knows. He knows man's position. He knows man's situation that he's in every single day. He knows. He knows. And thank God he remembers that we're just dust and we're just flesh. Thank God he remembers that. Man, if he didn't remember that, can you imagine how much trouble we'd be in? So he says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And here's the covenant, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It'll never cease. That was in Noah's day. Is seed time and harvest still going on right now? Is cold and heat still going on right now? Summer and winter, day and night, it's still going on. So that covenant doesn't just go with Noah and then stop when Noah dies, did it? That covenant continued to move on out throughout time, throughout time, throughout time. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it's going to go on out into the millennium. Because the earth is still going to be there. And until the day God destroys the entire earth with fire, this is going to keep going. That's called the Noahic Covenant. I hate to even mention this, but I'm going to say it. The Hebrew word for covenant is called berith, B-E-R-I-T-H. And it involves cutting something, okay, like a sacrifice. Look back in verse 20. And Noah builded what? He built an altar. What did he build the altar for? A sacrifice. It says that he offered of every clean fowl, every clean beast, offered burnt offerings on the altar. When God makes a covenant with somebody, there's always a cutting there. There's always a sacrifice. And when you look through the eight covenants of the Bible, maybe in the future sometime, we'll try to get into that, but when you look through the eight covenants throughout the Bible, every time a covenant is made, God cuts something. He sacrifices something. It's a blood covenant, okay? And you read through the book of Hebrews, and it says that he established a better covenant with us. And you know how that covenant was formed? Through the sacrifice, through a blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a promise. It's a promise. Thank God for that. That's good stuff. Genesis chapter 15. Turn over to Genesis chapter 15. Chapter 15. That word, the Hebrew word that I just said, berith, if you look up the definition of that, it's called the Jewish rite of circumcising a male child 8 days after his birth. Cutting goes on there. Let's see. I said chapter 15, didn't I? Hold that right there. Hold 15 and turn back to 9. I forgot to give you this. Got to give you this. Second part of the covenant that God makes with Noah. Chapter 9. Let's see. Verse number 8. Again, after they've come off of the ark. Chapter 9, verse 8. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Pastor's got a good note down there. He says, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. So that's part of the promise. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's part of the promise. And God said, this is the token of the covenant. So God gives you a sign to go along with the promise. He gives you something. What did God grant to us when he saved us? What is our token that God gave to us? The Holy Spirit of promise. How about that? It just keeps going right on through the New Testament, all the way out through the book of Revelation. This book's a circle. It just keeps going and going and going, and it doesn't matter how many people walk up with a hammer and an anvil and try to smack the book and get it to go away. It never goes away. It just keeps going and going and going. Verse 12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Perpetual. Keeps going. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." When you see a rainbow, that's not just, you know, because the prism colors here and so on and so forth. Well, you know, the mist in the air is falling in such a direction, and the light from the sun is hitting it. Sure, that's the science of it. But that's God talking to you. Really, that's God talking to you. Just short of an audible voice. That's him giving you a physical, visible sign to look at and say, "Oh, that's God's covenant." And when you see that rainbow, you can look and say, that's the covenant that God made with Noah. And he makes with all mankind. "I'm not going to destroy you anymore with the waters of a flood." With the waters of a flood. One day he is going to destroy the earth with fire. But God promised, "I'm never going to do this to you again." All right, Genesis 15. Genesis 15, this is with Abram. God makes the Abrahamic covenant, or the Abrahamic covenant, whatever you want to call it. Genesis 15. God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now you can look in Romans 4 and find out more about that. Look in verse number 15. "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." Now those pieces are animals. These are animals that God told him to lay out, some on this side and some on this side. There's a big old fat ant or a roach right there. I don't know what that is. Get out of here. So he says, God tells him to take these animals and to cut them straight down the middle. Put some on this side and put some on this side, okay? Long story short, he goes to sleep, and this is what happens. Verse number 17. "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land." There's your covenant for the nation of Israel, that land belongs to them. So these rag-headed Philistines can get out of their land one of these days. They're going to be forced out of that land. God's going to force them out and say, "I gave this land to my people. You get out." And he's going to run them out with force, with a sword, and with bloodshed. They're going to get out. So that's the covenant that he gives them. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. So God makes the covenant. All right, verse number, let's see, where were we at? Verse number 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark." Now, not only does Noah get involved in this covenant, and not only did Noah experience God's grace because of his walk with God, but the people that he loved most experienced God's grace because of his walk with God. Boy, you better get that. The people that you love most are going to experience something of God's blessing from your walk with God. If your walk with God is down here, then that's where their blessings are going to be. But if your walk with God is a continual upward gain and you're walking with God and getting closer to God, even when you drop down, when you mess up, but you get things right and come back to the Lord and keep living right, because you live right, because you walk with God, the people coming after you and the people that you love most are going to be affected by that. Amen? Amen. So take heed how you walk. Verse number 19, and of every living thing, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Obviously, he's doing that for procreation. He's trying to keep the species going. He's trying to keep the kind going. He's trying to keep male and female going. Verse number 20, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. So he tells him, get you some food together. Put it on the ark so you can eat for this number of days that you're going to be on the ark. And it shall be for food for thee and for them. So he's feeding the animals as well with the food that he's taken on the ark. Okay, verse 22. Verse 22 shows you what kind of walk God, or walk Noah had with God. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Well, that's a walk that I want with God. And that's a walk that we as Christians ought to strive for. When God says, do this, yes, sir, no problem. Aye, aye, captain, and go do it. Don't sit there and gripe about it. Don't sit there and say, well, yeah, but. Well, don't sit there and give him your whining accusations of everybody else is doing this. Who cares what everybody else is doing? If God tells you to do something, do it. Plain and simple. That's called a steady man, a steady person, a steady woman, okay? Steady, constant, faithful, just keeps gliding right along. God says, I need you to do this. Sure, you get knocked down sometimes, but then you get back up and you just keep going, see? So thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. This is the personal righteousness of Noah. This is not God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. This is the personal righteousness of Noah. This is Noah's righteousness, the fact that he's a good guy, the fact that he lives for the Lord. And we can skip over that. We covered a couple of that stuff. Everybody here knows that in the Old Testament, a man was judged by his own righteousness, correct? Everybody knows that. In the New Testament, you're judged by God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, okay? You want to be saved right now, then you get the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. That's why you had to offer sacrifices. That's why you had to live this way. That's why you had to do these things. That's all that different stuff. All that different stuff. Whenever God said the death angel is going to come through there in Exodus chapter 12, they could have said, yeah, but we have faith in God all day long. And they could have been, quote, looking forward to the cross all day long. But unless they took a sheep and slit its throat and took the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel, then they were going to die. Their firstborn was going to die, just like that. See, God has things laid out in a certain order. So anyways, chapter 7, verse 1. He said, thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Now he said twos back in chapter 6. But now he gives a little bit more detail on it. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Stop there. Why would he take seven clean beasts? Why would he do that? Anybody? Anybody got an idea? There you go, sister. Sacrifices. When he gets off of the ark, we just covered that a second ago, chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Well, why didn't he take seven unclean? Because God don't want your unclean sacrifice. He wants your clean sacrifice. Amen. So he tells him, take by sevens. I got a few other thoughts on that too, but I'm going to skip across that. yeah, I'm just going to skip that. So he gets in there, verse number 4. The time's come. The 120 years have passed, and he says, for yet 7 days. Man, that 120 years passed by quick, didn't it? I bet it passed by quick for Noah, too, being as busy as he was building that boat, preaching to those people. He says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, this shows the intent of the destruction of the earth. It involves all living things. It wasn't the actual earth itself that was annihilated. It was every living thing in it was destroyed. And he says in, we just covered chapter 6, verse 17, everything wherein is the breath of life, anything that has life in it. Let's see, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. There's his walk with the Lord again. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. I wonder how hard it was for a 500-year-old guy to build an ark like that. That's why I said, I bet you he had help. I bet his sons had to help him. I bet his sons' wives helped too. And I bet Noah's wife helped as much as she could too. I mean, they weren't just sitting there baking bread. They were helping. I mean, listen, this was a family affair, and they were doing it. Verse 7, got 7 days to go. Verse 7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And then verse number 11, he gets pretty deep in through there, and we'll hit that next week. Any questions? Any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you may not have breath. Better praise him while you still got it. Breath running out pretty soon. Anything else? Any other questions? Comments? Anything? Okay. Next week when we get into it, verse number 11 opens up a pretty big can of worms there. So just for the sake of not jumping headlong into it right now, we'll hold off and get it next week and start out fresh in it. All right. No other questions? All right, Father, thank you for the time you've given us. I pray you bless service coming up and help us to have a good one. We love you. Help us to give you praise every second that we can while we do have breath. Help us not to waste the time that you've given us. We don't want to be a brother to him that is a great waster. So I pray that you'd help us do our best every second we have to be able to give you praise and glory and honor and use the time that we have to do the things that we know we should be doing. We love you and pray you'd please come back today. I pray we'd hear the trumpet sound today and go up. We look forward to it in Jesus' name.